You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan Explosive Getaway Sacks. You had a bit of an explosive getaway this weekend. We're recording late here, my friend.
Yeah, so, I mean, we pride ourselves on our consistency in our release, but folks will notice that we are coming out not on Monday, but on a Tuesday. Big apologies for that, but sort of, you know, unforeseen and out of my hand circumstances of travel have led me to many delayed flights this weekend. So I hope that everyone traveling from MagicCon Chicago by air had better luck than I did traveling to see my friend this weekend. But yeah, I got stuck in Detroit, the airport last night. I won't relive the woes of travel because one, it's too soon and I'm too scarred to really relive them. The wounds are too fresh, but also boring to talk about on the air, and just say that I am so happy to be home and so happy to be recording the show with you, buddy. And I can't wait to hear about your weekend.
One of the two of us is happy to be home. My brain is still in MagicCon Chicago. It is quite the turnaround to go from Ben Warney, Lords of Limited podcaster, like whatever amount of fame I have in the Magic community, which is not much, but it's very cool when people come up and are like, hey, love the podcast. Like, I love having those interactions. It's one of my favorite parts about the con. To go from that to Mr. Warney, teacher, like, can we try to push the right buttons down at the right time? Bruh, like middle schoolers everywhere bruhing me. And like, it's a bit of a come down from a Magic high.
Yeah. I bet it is. I got, you know, some snippets from the socials. You got some snippets from some messages on Discord. But it sounds like you had a packed and awesome weekend.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast. I have lots of videos for you if you are interested in editing them together as a video log. So if that happens and folks are interested, I'm sure that will go up on the YouTube channel. But yeah, the weekend was a blur. It is impossible to fit everything you want to fit into a weekend of MagicCon. And like, there's so many more things that I would want to do in my space as just a competitive limited spike or whatever. And then there are constructed players. There are Dandan players. Like, there was a Dandan tournament going on downstairs. There's Commander this. There's game nights that. It's insane how big the Magic community is that comes together at these conventions. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I really want to hear about your weekend, so I'm going to just chat briefly about some housekeeping stuff, and then we'll dive into thoughts about the Chicago Magic Con. Let's chat about the Patreon page, which I'm sure you're gonna touch on. One of the perks of our Patreon, patreon.com/lordsoflimited, is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose, and everybody who gives back via the Patreon gets access to the Lords of Limited Discord, which was, I think, a big part of your socializing for the weekend, so I'm excited to hear about that. But the Discord is awesome. We've got an arena open coming up this weekend, which I was surprised by. So shout out to Samp, one of our Discord members, for alerting us to that so we could let you all know that. But there is going to be an arena open. We'll chat briefly about some Etherdrift sealed thoughts in just a few moments. But the reason I bring up the arena open is that the Lords of Limited Discord is a great spot to be for those high stakes limited events. Get to have some feedback from like-minded limited individuals on your sealed pool. Get to cheer people on day two as they're, you know, in pursuit of the $500, $1,000, or $2,000 top prize in the second draft. And just a really fantastic place to meet up with people at conventions, talk about picks and drafts and sealed pools and all that good stuff. We have channels galore in our Discord, and it's awesome to see people coming together and chatting. And the other thing that you get access to via the Patreon page is our episode a day early ad free. Usually you get the episode early when we're not recording on a Monday night. And you also get access to our bonus weekly episode of Lords Unlimited that we're dropping in the feed later in the week. So if any or all of that sounds of interest to you, if you want to do a little free week trial of that bonus podcast feed and see how that fits into your life. All that's available at our Patreon page. And we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join. This week, we're welcoming Christopher and Jack. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah, cannot say thank you enough. And that hits me more after being at MagicCon Chicago. And we might as well segue into it. Like, one of the coolest things for me, and I imagine it hits other people this way also, maybe not quite to the extent it would hit me or you, but as a Magic content creator and somebody who streams on Twitch and plays almost exclusively Magic online, my relationship with Magic is very digital. Mm-hmm. And I love Magic, like, very passionate about it, and I love my digital relationship with Magic. It's awesome to be able to come home from the school day, fire up a draft, fire up the stream, and decompress, like, via streaming and hang out with some people, draft the format, get a podcast about it every week. But it's another thing to, like, go to a Magic Con and then have that digital life, like, pop up for 3 days and be reality. Like, it's so good. It's so incredible. It feels like Cinderella, like, getting the dress and getting to go to the ball or something for like 3 days. Like, it's not there. It pops up and you go and you're at MagicCon Chicago, and then, like, Sunday at 6 p.m. hits and poof, everything goes away, driving back. But for that 3 days, it is just awesome. And, like, getting to put faces with Twitch dames, or getting to put faces with usernames in the Discord, and people coming up and saying hello, or, you know, you've helped me out with X, Y, and Z, or they had this thing at MagicCon Chicago, like, they had these cups, like, limited cups, modern cups, standard cup, mm-hmm. whatever. And there was a moment, like, we were in the basement and I was done with one of my PTQ rounds, and somebody was like, "Hey, Ben." And I, like, turned and they, like, held up their limited cup playmat that they had won. Like, they just won the limited cup, and they were like, this was you guys. This was the podcast or whatever. Like, and it was like, it lasted 10 seconds, but, like, it's just an awesome interaction that you don't get to have online. And then later on Sunday, that person came up and introduced themselves, and we got to chat a little bit. But I don't know. MagicCon Chicago is awesome, and our listeners are awesome people. And if you were there and I met you, thank you so much for coming up and saying that you enjoy listening to the podcast. And we enjoy making it, and we've got the best fans in the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I didn't get to experience that at the con this weekend, but it's reminding me of having that experience when I was doing coverage for KubeCon in October, and I feel like I never really had a chance to shout that out after the podcast, but that just never, never gets old.
Yeah, so I think first thing about MagicCon Chicago is, if you've not been to a MagicCon yet, and there is one that is remotely near you, no matter how you engage with Magic, I assume if you're listening to this podcast, it's via limited, but you've got to get to a MagicCon. Like, they are awesome. And you don't need to necessarily play in a sealed PTQ. Like, you can just go and draft side events or whatever, but you've got to get there because they are incredible. The second thing is just a quick shout out. This feels like an Academy Awards speech, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention Charlie Strix Familiar. I think a mutual friend of ours that we met over Twitch, and he and his wife Aubrey hosted me for the weekend. I thought I was being super on top of my travel plans. Like, I was going to book a hotel at the Hyatt where you and I stayed last year in December, and it was totally booked up already. And I was asking about hotel recommendations, and he was like, "Well, why don't you just come stay with us?" So that was awesome. And seeing Joe and other people that we've made online connections with and getting to hang out with them and spend the weekend. And truly awesome.
I just feel like it's important to say that, like, it's these folks are, like, extremely special to us, but, like, they were with us from jump. Like, I mean, we're not really anybody now, but when we were really not anybody, these were, like, people. Like, it's really wild to just feel like you make friends like this. I mean, the person I went to visit this weekend to not go to MagicCon Chicago is one of these friends that I made, like, through Twitch, and just, like, one of the people that you meet, like, super early on and that, like, cheers you on and you become friends with. Like, those people are special and worth shouting out on the podcast.
For sure. And another moment like that with Eric Klug. Like, he's popped into my Twitch stream over the years, like, very frequently. Awesome 100%
guy. 100% a bigger deal than us.
Oh, 100%. Yes, yes, yes. If you don't know Klug Alters, his work was all over the convention. It was wild seeing the display cases. I saw his Joker in person, the Alter. It is unreal good. But I got to meet him. Like, he was coming down birding my PTQ matches. And then we did a draft of his Kev Walker cube draft. He put together a cube of entirely Kev Walker art So it must be an absolutely prolific artist. It kind of felt almost like a chaos draft because, you know, it was hard to sew a cohesive cube team together with just art, but also insane to think that one artist had made enough magic art to make a cube. So it was cool meeting people like that. And I think this is probably different for us than most people. Although I guess people meeting us might feel this way, that I just feel like I know Eric already.
Right.
Because he's been in Twitch chat so much and we connect over magic. Like, you just instantly have this, oh, yeah, like, hey, how's it going? That sort of thing. And I think, you know, hopefully people feel like that when they come up and talk to me. Although there was one person who was like, I don't know, I'm really starstruck right now. And I was like, no, none of that. Like, I just a guy from Indiana who happened to start a podcast.
Yeah.
You have to go to a Magic Con. If it's anywhere near you or travel to one, like, you've got to get to one. So if you haven't been, please make plans to go to one. And if we're there, please say hello. Chicago layout, way different this year than when you and I were last year. And I'll keep this very brief because I'm assuming it's super niche. But last year, everything was on the top floor. And I'm glad it was the way it was last year when we did the live show, because there was the main, like, you walked in and you could see everything and you could see the main stage back in the back corner. And we knew we were going to be on the main stage. Like, I wouldn't have changed last year for the world. It's way bigger this year. It was two whole floors. So everything competitive was in that basement area where we did, like, the quote unquote murder basement drafts. It was very,
even the,
it was very,
the Pro Tour well was lit. Down there.
No, Pro Tour was where it was.
Okay.
But all of the con associated events were down there. I didn't even see the stage. Like, I didn't have time to go look at it. It was in its own amphitheater type thing across from the play area.
Yeah, I saw the audience picture that, like, Amazonian and Voxy took of the audience for game nights. It was massive. It looked like a sporting event.
Yeah, it was like an actual theater stage area inside the convention center across from the play area. And then there was tons more space upstairs for all the vendors. It was just way more open. Like, there weren't people sitting on top of each other. People weren't having to play magic on the floor. Like, there was tons more room. It was great. So that was cool. And the other thing I want to shout out is I played in the sealed PTQ Friday and Saturday, which was awesome. And I think I had not done it this way. I think this is the first time, at least, I had been part of the structure. It's really cool in that it's sealed Friday. And it's 8 rounds, and if you're in the top 32, you cut to a draft. And I didn't really quite know what the next part was, but essentially if you make top 32, the seeding is irrelevant except for play draw. So you randomly get split into, or maybe not randomly, maybe it's, no, I think it's randomly. You randomly get split into pods of 8, and then whoever's the higher seed when you play always wins the die roll.
Mm.
So that's like an incentive for finishing higher, but essentially your record gets scratched, and then you have a draft, and if you win your draft, you're on the PT. Like, that's a really cool, I didn't realize it was quite that direct on the second day, that it was one draft and queued. And so then if you scrub out of the Friday one, you can also re-queue for the Saturday one, which is what I did. I played in the Friday one, had a medium pool with a frog god, and then scrubbed out. I was like 3-2-1. And I felt miserable at the end of that day because all I'd eaten all day was chocolate and Diet Mountain Dew. Go figure. That was my own fault. hashtag on brand.
And next up on Lords Unlimited, how to plan for a Magic Con.
Yep. That was on me. But I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this sealed grind, because the sealed format is grindy. So if you're playing in the Arena Open this weekend, we've got some tips for you after this. For sure. I feel like I have a pretty good handle on the sealed format after doing some Magic Online sealeds and then getting to play against some elite sealed competitors in these PTQs over the 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So re-racked on Saturday, and I wasn't sure I was going to. Charlie talked me into it and opened a much better pool. Not like an insane pool, but a very good pool. It was super solid, could win games, and started out hot. And initially the plan was to go like 0-2 drop. I was not very invested in the second day. I was texting you the whole time, like, hoping I lose so I can drop, whatever, fire's gone out, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And quickly found myself 5-0, which was awesome. So one more match win and I'm in that top 32, because if you're 6-0, you can draw to be guaranteed top 32 with the number of players we had. Or if you're 6-1, you can also draw and go 6-1-1 and be guaranteed top 32. And then there's a couple 6-2s that make it in on tiebreakers. So essentially had back-to-back win and in matches. But before we get to those, I really want to shout out my round 5 opponent. And you will know how serious I am about this because of how much I griped about like my sealed PTQ experience when we were in Chicago the year prior. My round five opponent was incredible. His name was Connor Mullally. He was a Pro Tour competitor who had, oh, you know him. Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know him. He had been on the Pro Tour and had not made day two. So on the Saturday one, that was the other cool thing, was there, unfortunately for them, but there were a lot of pros that were, had gotten, you know, not re-queued for day two and then were doing the sealed PTQ to try to get back on the PT. He was incredible. Like the definition of from what I would want of a professional Magic player. And we were at 1-1 in our match. I was just so thankful for him that I told him that when we were, before we played game three, he just was calm, cool, collected, never rushed me, was very clear about everything. Oftentimes like pause. It felt similar to playing on MTGO or something where there was like a pause between phases. It was very obvious that he was very good at Magic, but you know, a lot of times that are very, people who are very good, like really don't want to draw and they play fast and they're like, stuff feels hurried or rushed. There was none of that from him. And he was very level-headed. He was in the zone. I was just super impressed with him. It was by far the most fun, like yet intense match of Magic I've played, because I felt so at ease. Like he put me at ease with how clear he was about everything and how little pressure I felt from him to play faster. So Connor, thank you. He had online an RIW sweatshirt. I looked it up. It was like a game store in Michigan, but whoever is sponsoring him, and I think his team got a couple people into the top eight, he said. So you've got a fan in me for life. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Round six, I lost a really tough one to Eduardo. We had a great match. And then round seven, I punted, which was pretty brutal. Yeah. You'll see it on the vlog. I played really well until I didn't. I could have won the match, but I made a game losing mistake. I had been very patient with a Defend the Rider, which is the single green combat trick where you can...
Something gets indestructible, right?
Something gets indestructible and hexproof, right? So you can save a creature. And I had a migrating Ketrodon. I'd played off curve the whole game. I knew I needed to protect this migrating Ketrodon, waited to cast it till I had a mana up. I'd been awesome. And I was flooding out, had been like binning lands, you know, finding stuff. And my opponent at one point said, pass the turn to you. And I think because it happened so fast, you know, like that I didn't really know quite what happened in the moment. And I kept replaying it afterwards. And I was trying to think, like, how did I let this happen? And I think when my opponent said, pass the turn, that like for some reason that meant they weren't allowed to take game actions anymore. Like they weren't allowed to respond to what I did. And I tapped out for something inane. I don't even remember what it was. It could have been like cycling a Night Market. It could have been returning a Deathless Pilot, but it was definitely not something that I needed to do to tap out of Defend the Rider. And I did. And my opponent, credit to them, like snapped it off instantly. And I mean, I knew I blew it like right then. Like I just tapped my forehead, and to my credit, I rallied and kind of made a game of it after that and cast Defend the Rider as the pilot to crew a vehicle that they weren't expecting, and almost clawed my way back. But they were able to get back into it and just pressure me enough that I couldn't. So I think if I had played correctly there, I probably would have been able to win the match. But through with that, and then didn't win the last round either. So went 5-0 into 5-3, which was a bummer. But even then, I, you know, wasn't too bent out of shape, because like I said, I'd lost the fire, gotten the fire back at 5-0, and then, you know, it was kind of whatever. It was very cool to be playing at the top tables, you know, sitting next to Andrew Ellenbogen, other people, like just being in that environment. But I love that, you know, like that energy. But right after that, and again, you'll see this on the Lords of Limited YouTube video.
Now I have to make it.
You have to make it. Yeah. I'm putting pressure on you. There's a kid who was very young, like had to be in middle school, seventh grade, eighth grade, freshman, maybe somewhere around that age, came up and was like, hey, love the podcast. This was right after the event ended. You're my favorite content creator. He was there with his dad. He played in the PTQ, went 5-3, like listens to Lords of Limited every week. Like, how can you feel badly after something like that? You know, like just that. Between that and Connor, like just made my weekend for the convention and completely restored all of my faith in competitive Magic that I'd lost the year prior in Chicago. So I'm looking forward to some competitive events. And yeah, that left Sunday free, which was awesome because then I got to jam a Mystery Booster 2 draft, which was super fun. I'd never done one of the Mystery Booster drafts. So I got to play with some of the playtest cards, a companion Yorion in your honor.
I got a frantic text from Ben saying, how many lands do I run with a companion Yorion?
No idea what to do. It turns out 28, because I was short on playables. That was your recommendation. And then also scrubbed out of that and then got to fire a Lords of Limited Discord draft. So just like kind of parked down in a place, put out the bat signal and was like, hey, anybody who wants to try to get together, I've got packs of Aetherdrift because I won a box. I ended up on 50th something in the sealed PTQ. So I had packs to burn and sat down and we did a 10-person Lords of Limited draft and played a couple rounds. And then they kicked us out 6 p.m. and I had to head home. But the convention was awesome. Love MagicCon.
You got me so much FOMO for the weekend, and I'm so glad that you had a great time, because I know there was some diciness for you in the paper Magic realm last year, and it sounds like fully restored, back on the train.
Fully restored. Connor, like, knowing that there's Connors out there, like, there's going to be good and bad with everything, but I want to chase after the good. I ran into Andy, too, who tested with us before the PT, drafted with us several times.
Oh, nice.
And we were just chatting for a bit and I was telling him about my punt and he was like, you'll get there. And like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But it's the punt I made is the kind of punt I always make on stream. Like, and to get, I was telling him, like, to get better, I would have to concentrate so much more than I do every time I play Magic for like 2 win % or something. Like, and I just don't think I'm willing to do that. So I don't know that I will. Hopefully that was a learning experience. And I do feel like I got better at Magic this weekend and certainly more comfortable with paper Magic. But the other thing that was really cool, I want to see what you think of this. Andy was with a buddy of his and asked me to make an elevator pitch for why his buddy should start liking draft more. And my elevator pitch for draft versus constructed was, I came up with this on the fly, that in constructed, it's like a knife fight. Everybody's bringing a knife to a knife fight. In limited, if you do it well, you got to bring a gun to a knife fight. Just mow the competition down if you draft well. Yeah?
Yeah. It's a little violent for my taste.
A little violent?
But I like it. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like for a constructed person, you'd be like, how often does your meta shift? Like every 6 months? Every 3 months? Our shifts every draft. Every day. Every, like, the set shifts. Like, it's always changing. I don't know. I feel like it's such an easy sell.
Such an easy sell. In the Lords of Limited draft, I drafted heavy red for the first time, and I was so set up for the sorcery that rebuys all the vehicles.
Push the limit.
I don't know what it's called because I didn't see it. I was a build it and it'll come situation. I still had a very good deck. Went 2-0 in our 10-person draft before they kicked us out, but I was so ready for a push the limit.
I'm still chasing that high. I keep trying to draft the like clamorous ironclads and the whatever 5-mana 4/4 cycling vehicles at common. Just like, I'll get past to push the limit. And I never do.
But it's a real deck if you get there.
Yeah, I did get to draft it. There's a video up on our YouTube channel if folks haven't checked it out. I did get to draft it once and the deck was awesome.
Yeah. So if that is not on your radar, it should be.
Okay, so speaking of segueing to some strategic talk, we teased that there's an arena open this weekend. What are your sealed tips after all of your prep this past week for the PTQ?
So the data is right for sure about sealed. Like you want to be green, which I don't think is shocking to anyone, but I think the default sealed build is green X, probably green black or green blue if you're a pool sports. It's certainly green red. I also got stomped down by some good green white decks the first day, but green's depth of creature is just so strong. So I think most pools you should be hoping to build a green X deck with your green cards, but sometimes that doesn't work out. And then you're going to have like, don't have much advice for that, because that's such an individual case by case basis. But I think the average pool is going to be hoping to play green, probably pairing it with black or blue, maybe red or white, depending. But then what that leads to is, you know, people have talked about the board stally thing in draft. And I definitely felt that the first day with like a medium plus pool. With a better pool the second day, I was able to avoid some of the boar stally stuff more, but also because I was ready for it and had plans for it. So I think things to think about going into the arena open sealed are, there's going to be death touch creatures running around. Like, what is your plan for your opponent's Saddleback Lagax and your opponent's Engine Rats? Like, you need to have thought about that, whether it's blue for Howlers Heavy to cycle to, you know, be able to attack into them, whether it's the one on a black indestructible trick to like maybe trample over with something and then still have your creature left after they block with the Death Toucher. Maybe it's Grim Baubles, but whatever it is, you need to be able to attack into Death Touch creatures. And just for any deck, you need to be able to beat Migrating Ketrodons and Hazard of the Dunes. If you can't beat a 4-mana 4/4 reach trample or a 6/6 reach gain 4 life, like you really need to rethink your build, because those are going to be everywhere. Even in the average pools, not even the above average pools, and some decks that you might want to build will have trouble with that. And so thinking about, if you can't attack into those, how are you going to make it so that you can attack into those? Whether, again, that's tricks or removal or what, but you're going to need to be able to deal with those types of cards as well. You could think that because the format is slower in draft, that it's slow enough to take the draw in sealed. Not a chance. Like you should. Well, I guess that's a moot point on Arena, because it's going to be best of one. Well, I guess you could play best of three and choose potentially, right?
Yeah.
But if you're in best of three, always on the play. Like you got to be on the play. And I think the sealed pools that I saw that were the best, and certainly my day two pool was this way, was just having a good depth of creature quality and sizing in the 2, 3, and 4 slot goes a long, long way. Like if you can curve a Lagak into a Loxodon Surveyor, like the 3/3 with Start Your Engines, into a Hazard of the Dunes, a lot of times that's enough to win you a game of Magic in sealed in this format.
Wow.
And the other thing I think that comes up way more in sealed than in draft is Start Your Engines as not a linchpin piece of your deck. So for example, a card that's really good in sealed that's not in draft so much, I think, is a Vishkar Raceway. I think that's the one that loots. The 3-tap, discard a card, draw a card once you have max speed. That's a huge player in sealed because the games can go pretty long and being able to pitch your lands is a big deal.
The other card that Starting Column is also pretty good in sealed. Yeah,
Starting
then.
Column is nuts in sealed. I think good in draft as well.
I agree. Like, I agree.
That's what when we were doing the LOL Discord draft, people were just hot on that card. And I was chatting with them about it because I have not played it much, but I was starting to be impressed by it a little bit heading into the con. And they were like, oh, yeah, it's basically, if you're not heavy green, being able to play a multicolored good cards, Start Your Engine style deck, or certainly like in the Esper decks, really good, an Esper artifact, Start Your Engines kind of thing, can really shine there. But yeah, that card is nuts in sealed as well. And the other card that's really awesome in sealed is Velaheart Bike. Those two things, letting you splash while also being relevant pieces of cardboard, super huge game. And then Night Market's obviously nuts too. Like I just had two of them in my straight green black deck the second day, just being able to cycle it, because the sealed format does get super grindy, like I said. But yeah, ways to loot, filter cards, and just even the surveyors, like late in the game, once you finally hit max speed, being able to exile that for an extra card, super big game. Trying to make sure that you have ways to interact with artifacts and enchantments main. Like you should always main Broken Wings in sealed. I didn't have this in my main deck, and I should have. The single black, look at the hand, discard an artifact or a creature. Like I think that's always main deck if you're black in sealed. I really got a lot of mileage out of the draw two, lose two life. Each player loses two life in black.
Risky Shortcut.
Risky Shortcut, thank you. And it was risky, because like if that was your turn three play and your opponent was curving out, like sometimes that was rough, but it was really good if you managed to curve out and then we're casting that to refuel up. But yeah, you got to pack creatures, you got to pack removal, and try to pack some card advantage. It really is basic sealed, but you know what? There's so much homogeneity. I don't know what the word is. There's a word there, right? Help me out here. You went to school for talking.
Homogeneity.
There we go. We got there. I can spell it for you in the spelling bee if you want. But anyway, there was so much homogeneity in what the good pools offered, like the Death Touch creatures, the large green reach creatures, that like you really can know what you're expecting to face from a lot of the good decks, which I think is different than a lot of sealed formats.
Yeah, because I feel like sometimes it's like, yeah, except unless there's this like great aggro pool, or unless there's this good control pool with counter spells. But this format doesn't really offer those as options.
Well, I mean, it does. Like, I think the most common non-green decks I saw were there. It's possible to get red-black start your engines for sure. Like, played against some very good red-black Mardu start your engine stuff. You can get blue-black artifacts. That was what I lost to in round 8 on the second day with the Mu Yanling. Was very good. So it's not like it has to be green, but I think it will be more obvious if you're not supposed to be green what you're supposed to be doing, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So for whatever that's worth, good luck in the Arena Opens this weekend. I'm looking forward to jamming.
Yeah, I am too. And I am looking forward to getting to Armchair Quarterback some Pro Tour drafts. And we have, you know, sometimes it's folks that, like, I don't know, maybe we don't know as well. You know, they won the last Pro Tour, they're sitting down, or they're just happen to be 8-0 at this Pro Tour, and then they're the featured drafter on day two. This Pro Tour, we got Javier Dominguez for day one, and we got Ben Stark for day two. Did you know that Ben Stark and Matt Nass were the two 8-0 players at the end of day one?
I did know that. I opened up Twitter at the end of the day on what Friday that would have been. Yeah, gym shorts in their full resplendence in the photo.
They're coming back, baby. And before sitting down to record, I was like, Ben, have you had a chance to look at these drafts? And he said, no, I think that would be better content. And I agree, but you got to swashbuckle up, my friend, because these drafts are a bit of a wild ride, I will say. These are tough drafts, as you would expect at a Pro Tour. But I have some questions, some comments, some concerns. And I know, get good, scrub. I've been on the Pro Tour once, and we all saw how that went. But, like, I'm still allowed to have opinions, and that's what the microphone's for. And so here we are.
Let's do it. I'm excited with that teaser. Let's get into
it. Okay. Pack one, pick one. You sit down and see the following cards as options as Javier Dominguez, the reigning world champion. Wreckage Wicker Folk, the 1/3 flyer, Surveil 2, Ride's End, 4 and a white, exile a thing, unless it's tapped, in which case it's only 1 and a white, was in the winning Pro Tour deck piloted by Matt Nass, because it triggers up the Beanstalk. There's a Canyon Vaulter, the 1 and a white, 3/1, when it crews or saddles something, it gains flying. Boom Scholar, the 1 red, green, exhaust stuff costs 2 less, and when you exhaust it, it gets +2/+2, and everything gets trample. 2 cycling rares in the pack. One is Monument of Endurance. It's a 3-mana artifact. Whenever you discard a card for the first time on your turn, you get to choose one of, draw a card, make a treasure, or your opponent loses 3 life. And Fearless Swashbuckler, the 1 blue red, 3/3. It has haste. Vehicles you control have haste. And then if it and a vehicle attack, you draw 3 and discard 2. What are your thoughts about this pack, Mr. PTQ competitor, Ben Wernie?
Yeah, no world champ, no reigning world champion here. Cards that stick out to me are Monument of Endurance. Certainly, I love that as a pack one, pick one build around for a blue-red cycling deck or just a cycling deck in general. I've done it with red-black also. I think it's between that and Wreckage Wicker Folk, the 1/3 flying Surveil 2 for me. I think those would be the two cards in consideration. I like to think that I would take Monument of Endurance and try to build around it at the PT. I mean, it's hard to argue against Wreckage Wicker Folk in that spot because it's so versatile and it's going to be great in any black deck that you draft. You know, you're locking up a 2-drop creature. It's going to help smooth out your draws. I think the pro pick might be Wreckage Wicker Folk. But I think I, left to my own devices, would take Monument of Endurance. I've been very impressed with the card.
I really like Monument. Are you at all worried about taking, like, I mean, it's not effectively a gold card, because I think, so obviously blue-red is Monument's best home. I definitely think you can make it work in black-red. Those are basically, I guess, maybe you could make it work in blue-black. Maybe it's just a Grixis card. But in my mind, it's like blue-red 1, red-black 2. That's it. Do you think it works in blue-black?
Yeah, I think it could work in blue-black. It also has got to be insane in the push-the-limit cycle-your-vehicles deck. Like, you could be set up to draft that, and that might be a niche deck that nobody knows about.
But are you trying to, like, that feels like shooting the moon. Do you feel like you have to shoot the moon? Or, like, because my inclination is Wreckage Wicker Folk out of this pack, because rock solid. I'm going to want it in any black deck. I'm happy to draft any black deck. Let's do that.
That's what I mean. Like I said, the pro pick is probably Wreckage Wicker Folk, like the quote unquote correct pick. But to me, it's between those are the two cards I would be considering. Like I said, I'd like to think I'd take Monument of Endurance and draft a cool deck. I think Monument Endurance, one of the most important things I think about this format still is trying to make the mediocre cards better, or be able to make cards good for you that are not good for other people that then you get late. I think you get really rewarded for setting yourself up in an open archetype. And I think cycling, specifically Push the Limit, or those things might be undervalued. I mean, if there's people who are drafting at the PT, which you have to assume there are some who've just gotten a crash course from people and have been jamming Constructed mostly. You don't think so?
Yeah, I think there are some. I don't know. Javier's definitely not one of those people.
But it's hard to like say you're going to go in and force Push the Limit or something, right? Like, I would never do that. But opening Monument feels like, okay, like I've got outs to a lot of different styles of good cycling decks to me.
Yeah.
I've been impressed with Monument as a build around, and I think I would want to open a pack one, pick one build around. Like I said, though, I could certainly see, I would never argue with somebody taking Wreckage Wickerfolk here.
Yes. Javier took Ride's End, the white removal spell, which is surprising to me for a couple of reasons. One, because I still am a lover of black in this format. Many people believe that green is far and away the best color in this format. I think another thing that many people agree on is that white is the worst color in this format. And I am one of those people who agrees that white is the worst color in this format. I agree that Ride's End is white's best common, but I would not want to start white in this draft format for very many cards, certainly not Ride's End. And so I also have to imagine that Javier has that information, that he knows that white is not great. And so taking Ride's End here is interesting to me, because it does feel like there's either a personal preference that he's enacting here, or I guess it's one of three things: personal preference, a recognition of the pinch on removal that we've all felt, I think, in drafts in general, that I'm sure in doing practice drafts with Pro Tour level competitors, there's just a real vacuum felt in terms of getting removal. So perhaps this is a nod to that. It's eminently splashable, whatever. So I'm wondering if all of that is there. But this is not a pick of like, man, Javier doesn't know what he's doing. No, this, I'm sure Javier knows what he's doing. I'm just curious what he's doing with this. If he likes white, if it's a removal thing, if it's a zag, because he thinks white is going to be open. But I'm not sure. But I feel like the pick of Ride's End here is saying one of those things.
Yeah, I think certainly when I played Eduardo in round six, we were chatting a little bit about the format, and he was saying his team flew him in to be like the limited consultant for their team.
That's basically. Right. Yeah.
And the conclusion he and they basically came to was that the format was actually pretty balanced in competitive pods, like that green was not as certainly as backbreaking as it seems to be via the data. If you just filter by game in hand win rate or on arena or whatever, that the format gets much more balanced in competitive pods, and that everything's pretty draftable if you find the right archetype.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Ben Stark, was the lone Boros trophy on day one.
You love to see
only,
it.
The only person to trophy with Boros was Ben
Stark.
Drafting
the hard way. Yeah, for sure. Actually in this format.
Truly the hard way.
So, I mean, there might be something there as well, like picking up a piece of removal if you feel like the colors are more balanced. You know, Ride's End's a great spell. It's just in a tough color.
I agree. So he lands on Ride's End, pack one, pick two. There's a run over, the green bite spell. There's a broadcast Rambler, the 4 and a white 5/4 vehicle that makes a 1/1 Thopter and has crew one. There's a Momentum Breaker, my favorite, the 1 and a black Edict enchantment with start your engines and then pay two, sack it to gain life equal to your speed. And the rare still in the pack is Explosive Getaway, the 3 red white, exile a thing, like a creature vehicle, then deal 4 damage to everything, and then the thing you exiled comes back end of turn.
To me, this seems like a, no matter what you started with, a clear Momentum Breaker as far and away the best card in the pack, I think.
That's what I think. I mean, there might be some runover lovers out there who would say, and green lovers out there who would say runover is better than Momentum Breaker. I do not think that.
There's no chance. Momentum Breaker is way better than runover, in my opinion.
That
came in a little hot.
bring the heat, baby. I agree. I think Momentum Breaker is awesome. I think it's one of the best uncommons in the set, personally. And I just like, I would have loved the start of Wreckage Wickerfolk into Momentum Breaker. I would be thrilled with that. Javier went Ride's End into Broadcast Rambler. Again, arguably maybe the second best common for white in the set behind Ride's End. But like, you don't want to do that, right? Do you really want to be starting with two white commons?
But I do not want to be starting with two white commons. No, I'd be much happier with Moment into Momentum Breaker or Wreckage Wickerfolk into Momentum Breaker or Rides anything into Momentum Breaker. I think arguably Momentum Breaker is the best card you've seen all draft so far.
I mean, the card with the highest floor, for sure, I would say. Like, Monument to Endurance has the highest ceiling.
Ceiling, yeah.
Okay, so we go white card into white card, and then a gift here. You know, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a Wreckage Wickerfolk for you and me for the mono black start here. Javier gets a Basri, tomorrow's champion. That's the one mana 2/1 in white that you can like exert, make a 1/1 cat, and has cycling to give your cats indestructible or something that you wouldn't do. But that's kind of nice to see after you took this sort of weird stance on some white commons.
Yeah, certainly nice to see. It's not that insane of a card, but it's no. I mean, you're always playing in a white deck. You're happy to see it here if you started with two white cards, get that curve a little lower, etc.
But like, so, you know, Basri is, I mean, I guess it's in theory a better card than Wreckage Wickerfolk, but like there's still a Ranger's Aetherhive in the pack, the one green blue 3/5 Vigi vehicle. There's a Diversion unit, one on a blue 2/1 flyer. You can pay blue to mana leak and instant or sorcery. Like there's still good cards here. So it's not crazy that, but it's not like you're like, what is this Basri doing here? It's like, no, there's just still good cards in this pack.
Sure. Yeah. But you're never taking anything other than Basri here if you're Javier at this point.
Correct. But you, I mean, I certainly would be on Wickerfolk, Momentum Breaker, Wickerfolk. That would have been my start. This
round. My start would have been Monument, Momentum Breaker, Wickerfolk for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Pack one. And or like, who knows? Maybe in the heat of battle, I'd have taken Wreckage Wickerfolk also. Maybe I'd have wimped out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would not have taken Ride's End.
My guess, we'll do some spoilers here. The monument that Javier opened, Wheels. That's what he gets, pick 9. And Ben Stark sees one pick 6 in his draft. And unless there were multiples opened at the table, it makes its way to Matt Nass because he gets one in his deck. So like,
okay.
It doesn't seem like it's a card that is
of interest to the pros.
Of interest to the pros, for whatever reason.
So I'm just a filthy pleb.
I like the card. I'm a little nervous about, it feels like a shoot the moon kind of card. And so it would be something that I'd like to see a little later, but I wouldn't expect to wheel it, certainly. Anyway, okay, so mono white start. Pack 1, pick 4. Packed all terrors in the pack. Broadside Barrage, the one blue red, deal 5. Draw a card, discard a card. Howler's Heavy, the 3 and a blue, 3/4. One in a blue cycle, something gets -3/-0. Laying in Surveyor, one in a white 2/2 start your engines, and you can exile it when you have max speed from your yard to draw a card. And Risen Necro Regent, I think a card that you and I are the only fans of in the world.
It was so good in Sealed. There were, like, for me and opponents, like that sort of card gets way better, like just sitting around making a 2/2 zombie and your opponent doesn't have a removal spell. It's like, it demands a removal spell, which is a nice card to have in Sealed.
Yeah, now that's the 4 and a black 5/4. When you have max speed and your end step, you make a 2/2 zombie. So we're thrilled, or I'm thrilled. Wreckage Wickerfolk, Momentum Breaker, Wreckage Wickerfolk, pick 4 Risen Necro Regent. I'm like salivating right now.
And you're shaking the Necro region over the Pact All Terror, right?
Yeah. Yes.
With the Momentum Breaker for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Like you were reading the cards in this pack and I was reading them on our Google spreadsheet. My eyebrows were going higher and higher and higher. And then Javier has to take Land and Surveyor.
But he doesn't.
Like, but sure, doesn't. I guess that's fair. You don't have to.
He doesn't have to be mono white, right? Like taking Land and Surveyor here seems so nuts to me.
What's good enough to push you off it, though?
But why do you have to be off of it? Like, isn't Risen Necro Regent good enough? Like, you pair white with black. Why can't I do that?
I don't like taking that here if I'm Javier. Because moving into black for Risen Necro Regent as your first black card with no other start your engines, and then 3/5 drops potentially, although I guess you're hoping to use Ride's End defensively.
Yeah.
I don't like taking Necro Regent here. If I'm Javier and I've gone white card, white card, white card, I would take Land and Surveyor here.
Okay. You wouldn't even be tempted by Pact All Terror, I guess, because that's better in blue-black.
Yeah, it's not a white-black card, certainly with the start you've got here.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at the Ride's End, I can get behind. I can wrap my head around the Ride's End. and then I can wrap my head around the Bosri based off of taking two white cards. The Broadcast Rambler and the Land and Surveyor are tough picks for me to understand.
I agree. And certainly, I would argue that the Momentum Breaker pick is just clear. Pick two. And if you have Momentum Breaker, then I love taking Risen Necro Region of your Javier. Like if you go correct. Ride's End, Momentum Breaker, Bosri, Risen Necro Region, super in for that start. Like,
and then you can
that seems
be,
great to me.
Then you can just be black white, and then pick five. You have the option to take a Dune Drifter, which is the X white black vehicle, 3/3 crew two, and get back.
Didn't even know that was coming up. Seems great.
Creature or vehicle with mana value X. No, he doesn't take that. He takes his first non-white card in Road Rage, the single red deal X, where X is 2 plus the number of vehicles and mounts you control, which, I mean, it's fine. It's like, it's better than Grimbauble, right? But not by much is how I would assess it.
Yeah, I think it's a fair bit better than Grimbauble. I would say significantly better. Road Rage is a pull into red. It's a B minus.
Is it better than Lightning Strike?
Yes.
Okay. Is it better than Thunderhead Gunner? The 4/5 reach. Discard
is Thunderhead
card,
Gunner
card.
Better than Lightning Strike? Are you taking Thunderhead Gunner over Lightning Strike these days?
I don't think that's that controversial. I think Thunderhead
Gunner
is not
that controversial.
I think Thunderhead Gunner is definitely better than Lightning Strike. Yeah.
I will still be selecting Lightning Strike over Thunderhead Gunner, I think. Okay. And so there. So I think I also think the instant speed deal 2 is better than Thunderhead Gunner. But maybe I'm just washed out of touch with the draft format. Has it evolved in the 4 days that I've been gone at MagicCon? That much.
Yeah, you're in the sealed trenches. You don't know what's going on in draft. I don't know.
Thunderhead Gunner is insane in sealed. You're supposed to splash for Thunderhead Gunner if you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that. Sorry, we're getting lost in the sauce. I'm just excited to talk about Magic and not be stuck at an airport. Javier takes Road Rage, which I just think is weird based on he's seen Black Flow. I mean, as much as you can see, things flow in four picks. But also, like, you have four white cards, and you're taking your red card. And so are you telling me you're signing up to draft red-white?
It's really weird. It feels like Javier is gumptioning into red-white. Except you don't really want to gumption into red-white, I don't think.
Right, you don't have to, you don't want to, you don't need to, you shouldn't. Like, yeah, I don't know. These picks were tough. To wrap my head around. And then
what was happening on the commentary? What was going on there?
Some surprise, some rationalizing, some disagreeing, but also we're the commentary right now.
That's right. We are the commentary. That's why they can't hire us, because we're just going to be like, oh, these pros don't know what the hell they're doing.
And the Twitch chat will boo us off the face of the earth. The next few picks, he grabs a black-white dual land, a Night Market. So I do actually like taking a few lands out of some weak packs in the middle here. Gets a pick 8 Endrider Spike Spitter. The 3/4 reach in red, start your engines. If you have max speed, you exile a card in your upkeep and you can play it that turn. Like, and I will say, we probably won't get to it, but like, I think it was like pack 3, pick 13 in Ben Stark's draft. There's an Hour of Victory, which again is like a card that I think only you and I like in the world, but my mind is so, I just can't understand what people are not getting. I just feel like I've said all I can say. I've produced the amount of content I can to be like, the start your engine stuff is good. These uncommon payoffs are good. And Marshall and Paul did not seem to like a lot of the payoffs for, you know, like Necro Regent was one that they were like, that's one, but like, Necro Regent, Spike Spitter, Hour of Victory, they're good payoffs. Anyway,
Hour of Victory is real. Whatever it is in draft, it's really good in sealed. Like the 2/2 body for 3 is a little tough, but the sealed games go long enough that it's hard. Like you have to make a concerted effort for your opponent to not get to 4 speed once they've played an Hour of Victory. Mm. And if they've got some Pact Altairs, and like when they go tutor in sealed, like, you know, something not good is coming your way because they got to open 6 bags.
Yeah.
It's a rough feeling.
Yeah, for sure. So he takes the Spike Spitter. And as I said, he wheels Monument to Endurance and does take it. And I was looking as I went through the rest of the draft again. I mean, I watched it live and then watched it to take notes. And after Ben Stark's draft, they posted a pick, but I couldn't find a spot to get a picture of what Javier's final deck ended up as, because he definitely got in some Jeskai soupy territory. Because after a pack one, pick two Canyon Vaulter, he gets a Captain Howler, pack two, pick two, which is the two blue red, 5/4, ward two, ward, pay two life and two mana, and you know, gives you bonuses for cycling stuff and +2/+0, etc. It felt actually quite reminiscent of the draft that you and I reviewed from mine on Lords Unlimited last week, where I was like, should I have been Boros here? And it was unclear with Javier's start so deep into white, like how he was able to make it all work. But ended up with some Jeskai cycling life, it looked like to me, because he did, I believe,
unfortunate given the white start that you would then be Jeskai. Like, that's tough for your mana, like a Captain Howler in the what that costs 4, right? That card's so broken.
It's really broken.
Card's illegal.
Yeah, but he just sort of like bobs back and forth a little bit. Like, he takes a Tranquil Cove, the white blue land, pick 4 in this pack, takes another Broadcast Rambler, the 5/4 vehicle. Bob's back takes a Cloudspire Skycycler, the 2 red-white uncommon vehicle, then takes a Howler's Heavy, the 3 and a blue 3/4 with cycling. Like, just didn't feel like he quite latched on. Like, he wasn't, for what you sort of are reading it as, it seems like he might be gumptioning himself into red white. He didn't quite have the gumption for some of those spots. So that's why I'm like, I'm not sure that that's actually what he was trying to do. He did get a Push the Limit, which I think he ended up playing because he got the Valor's Flagship pack 3, pick 2 to go with it.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah. So you probably get there if you go for it from the beginning with Millennium Endurance. You probably do shoot the moon then, right?
And I think he does end up playing it. Oh, no, it's this draft where the Hour of Victory is pack 3, pick 13. I was so offended by that. But yeah, so I think he ended up, and his assessment on Twitter was he went 1-2, but he seemed like he thought he could have, with some better play, have won match 3. But yeah, a tough draft for sure, but I think you really could have avoided.
Seems the, like you could toughness. Have been very deep into black if you're black as the best color, I think, for me, with how I like to draft the format.
I am and let the comments flow, but like, I would be mono black and then get that Spike Spitter pick 8 and be like, great, the table doesn't know what they're doing with Start Your Engines, and I will show them.
Yeah that seems like an awesome place to be.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so day one is done. We have 2-0 players have emerged in the names of Ben Stark and Matt Nass. Boomer Magic is alive and well.
Jim Short's OP.
Jim Short's OP. Doesn't matter. What was it, 15 degrees in Chicago by the lake there this weekend?
It was a little chilly the first day walking back to the car. It was normal-ish cold Indiana type weather in the last 2 days.
So shorts weather. You were wearing shorts, I assume?
It's not shorts weather. Definitely not shorts weather. But it is hot in those halls, like with tons of people and stuff. So I think they might be onto something. Comfort. Well,
and if they were able to book their hotels a little quicker than you, then they were able to just walk from their room to the convention center inside.
So yeah, I'm sure they know what's up. I'm sure they know what's up.
Shorts are fine. So, well, let's see if you still think they know what's up at the end of this draft. With Ben Stark sitting down for day two here.
Are you asking me to criticize the GOAT?
I'm setting you up to do it. I think Ben's draft is a lot tougher. And I'm just sort of more curious to like I don't disagree with a lot of it but I am like, it feels like he could have off-ramped or should have off-ramped, but I'm not even sure if it was possible. And he might've just been in a really tough seat. So pack one, pick one, you sit down, you see the following cards as options. A lot of green. Hazard of the Dunes is here. Migrating Ketrodon is here. Greenbelt Guardian is here. The 1 and a green, 2/2 uncommon. Exhaust 3 and a green, put 3 counters on it. Pay green to give something trample. Some other cards as well. Glory Heath Links, maybe best white uncommon, second best white uncommon. The 2/3 for 2 lifelink. When you saddle it and it attacks, you get to search up a plains. Guidelight Pathmaker, the 4 white-blue, 6/5 vehicle. Uncommon that you can search up an artifact when it comes into play, and if it costs 2 or less, put it into play. I've had that with River Churn Monument a couple of times this weekend, drafting on my phone. that's a really fun to have a tutor for your monument.
Riverton Monument is broken and sealed. Broken, yeah. Half and sealed.
I mean, it's also kind of broken in draft too, but yeah, I imagine more broken and sealed. And your rare is Bulwark Ox, which is probably even worse, maybe even worse than Glory Heath Links. That's the one in a white 2/2 saddle one. And when it attacks while saddled, you put a counter on something and you can sack it at instant speed to give things with counters on them hexproof and indestructible until end of turn. But you're not taking a white card here. You're looking at the green cards, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would take Greenbelt Guardian. Like, you could say something for... I wouldn't be shocked if somebody took Bulwark Ox. I do think Bulwark Ox is better than Glory Heath Links.
Okay.
It's capable of running away with a game.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
More so than Glory Heath Links is. And I think that is the way that I leveled up more over the weekend, is an appreciation for what a single card can do on its own in sealed. Like, I feel like I got better at evaluating cards that way and how cards fit into decks that way. I do feel like I had a bit of a level up this weekend. But Greenbelt Guardian, I think, for me, somebody's got to be green. Why not you?
Why not you? I mean, and even if you're passing Hazard and migrating Ketrodon, I totally agree. I agree with this pick. I would take Hazard of the Dunes if Greenbelt Guardian were not here.
That's so hard. At the PT?
Yeah, I would. Bulwark Ox is not... I mean, with the caveat of I did not do pod drafts, and like I could see with Eduardo said being extremely true of like, actually stuff gets a lot more balanced. And if I had experience with that and felt like, actually, Bulwark Ox is a great spot to start if I want to be white... It's not currently on my list of things I'm happy to first pick as a white drafter, but I could see it, but it's not currently there. So I would take Hazard.
I think I would take either of the white two drops over Hazard, but Hazards were great. I don't know. Maybe that's just wrong.
So anyway, Hazard's real good. Hazard's real good. So Ben takes Greenbelt Guardian. Pack one, pick two. There is some more green, a Pothole Mole, and another Migrating Ketrodon. In the uncommons, there's a Back on Track, the 4 and a black reanimate spell that brings a pilot along. There's a Rocketeer Boost Buggy, the red green 3/2 vehicle. When it attacks, you make a treasure. You can exhaust it for 3 mana to put a counter on it and animate it for the rest of the game. And Voyage Home, the 5 white blue, draw 3, gain 3 with affinity for artifacts.
Yeah, I'm pick for pick with Ben so far, which is making me feel good. I would take Migrating Ketrodon here as well. I had not played with that card that much prior to playing with it in sealed, and it feels nice and cozy when you cast a Migrating Ketrodon.
Ben Wernie and Honey Mammoth Variants, a match made in heaven. Yes, I agree with this pick as well. I am 2 for 2 with Ben, with both Bens here. Pack one, pick three. There is a Canyon Vaulter. That's the 1 and a white 3/1. When it crews something, it gets flying. A Boom Scholar, 1 red green, 3/3, uncommon, exhaust stuff, cost cheaper. And Roadside Blowout, the 2 and a blue, bounce spell at sorcery speed, and you draw a card.
Yeah, this is a close pick, I think, between Boom Scholar and Roadside Blowout. I see that Ben S selected Boom Scholar. I think I'm going to diverge from him here. I really like Roadside Blowout, and I think I would take it over Boom Scholar, but certainly would. I don't disagree with this the way I disagreed with some of Javier's picks. Like, it's, I would do something different, but no qualms with anyone taking Boom Scholar here.
I would do something different. And that different thing would be to take Roadside Blowout. And I don't like Roadside Blowout that much. I think I'm probably like in my head too low on it than I actually should be. Like, I think part of it is that in the same sense of like sort of not understanding the single blue instant speed bounce spell, like I get that is a good card, right? Like, whatever, a great card among top players on 17 lands, and like, so I get that it is doing well. It is not doing well for me, and I don't know if that's obviously skill issue, user error, etc. But I also just don't think I'm building like tempo assertive blue decks a lot of the time, and I think that's where those cards are at their best. Anyway, this long rambling thing is to say that, to come back to, I really hate taking gold cards early in this format. Like, of the level of Boom Scholar, which is why I much prefer taking Blowout, because while Ben's green start is good, it's not like he can't get away from it. He took Greenbelt Guardian and Migrating Ketrodon. And if green is going to dry up, which you probably should expect it will, and spoiler alert, it does in this draft, like, taking Roadside Blowout here means, yeah, I can play this in blue-green, but I also give myself the chance to only throw away two picks this draft versus three.
Oh, well, that's making me feel great. I wasn't even considering that, but here you, like, I just like roadside blowout better than boom scholar, but it does leave you more flexible. I hadn't really considered maybe wanting to pivot completely off of green. That feels unlikely to me at this point in the draft, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I agree. I would take roadside blowout.
I'm not saying I'm trying to do it, and it becomes increasingly less likely with this next pick, which is pack one, pick four. He gets a run over, which is the one in a green common bite spell. And there's an unswerving sloth, the 3WW 5/5 mount. There's a trip up, the top or bottom blue spell. There's ooze patrol, the 3 in a green 2/2. And then you mill 2 and then counter is equal to the number of artifacts and creatures in your yard. But like, you're taking run over here. And then once I have run over, it's a lot harder for me to imagine getting away from green.
I agree. So yeah. Where do we go from here? What happens? So we've got these three green cards. You and I have a roadside blow up. Ben's got a boom scholar. What's pick one, pick five?
Well, pack one, pick five, much like it should have been pick two for Javier, I believe pack one, pick five should be a momentum breaker for Ben. It is far and away the best card in this pack. It should not be here, pick five. The rest of the cards are another trip up, count on luck, the triple red Phyrexian Arena rare, Aether Jacket, the 3-mana artifact, 2/1 flying Vigi, and Alacrian Jaguar, the 5-mana 4/4 Vigi in green with saddle 1, +2/+2.
So can we zoom out here a second? I really like Momentum Breaker also. It's shocking to me that Ben takes Alacrian Jaguar over Momentum Breaker.
Yep.
Is Momentum Breaker not one of the top uncommons on 17 lands? Like, I would expect it would be top 10, top 5.
No, it's not. It seems like sorting by top users, it's, I don't know, top 20-ish. It is in the vicinity of just under Tarion World Tyrant, Broadside Barrage, Dredger's Insight. We should not be assessing the data. You and I
agree.
Should not be the ones.
I 100% cosign. I'm just looking at this list of cards. So I'm trying to think where Momentum Breaker is in my list of uncommons. It's certainly in my top 10.
Yes.
I think I would take it over Skyseeker Serpent, pack one, pick one.
Yes.
I would take it over Haunt the Network, pack one, pick one.
Yes.
I would take it over. I would take Spike Shale Harrier over it. Pack one, pick one, I think. That's close, though.
Mm-hmm. It's in that realm. Ranger's Refueler, you could take over it.
Like, I would take it over Ranger's Refueler, but maybe that's a leak on my part. I would take Greenbelt Guardian over it.
Yes.
Like, I think just to, with the eye of trying to get into green, but it's like, I think it might be, what's my list from last week? I think it might be top five for me. And I don't feel like I'm too high on the card.
No, I mean, it's definitely top 10, might be top 5, top 3 for me. I don't know, but like, it's up there. I'm not taking it. Like, I don't think I'm taking any of the gold cards, like, unless you're of the mind that like Thundering Broodwagon is not exactly a black green card and you can play it with Back on Track and you can play it with Push the Limit. But like, I think it's excellent. And so, and I am surprised to see it pick 5 here, and was surprised to see Javier not take it pick 2, and I'm extremely surprised to see Ben not take it pick 5. Because also, like, you have 3 green cards, and green-black is a great deck.
Yeah, that's so strange to me. I would definitely take Momentum Breaker there. I think that's a leak.
Oh, wow. Oh, so are we going to criticize the goat, he said, and here it is. You got leaks, Ben. Okay.
What, I mean, with all the caveats, look.
Yeah.
Whatever. No, sealed PTQ, 5-0 into 5-3, punted away a match right here. Like,
yeah.
Not that good at Magic. I do think I'm pretty good at drafting, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand not taking the Momentum Breaker here over a card that is filler minus in Alacrian Jaguar. Like,
yeah.
take Aether Jacket before you take Alacrian Jaguar.
I don't know if I agree with that. Aether Jacket's pretty miserable.
Gives you a main deck answer to River Churn Monument. Sign me up. Pack on pick 6, he sees an Embalmed Ascendant. That's the white-black sign post aristocrats. There's the aforementioned Monument to Endurance here. Pick 6, the artifact that Javier wielded. There's a boosted sloop, The one blue red vehicle with menace. Whenever you attack, you draw a card and discard a card. And Magmakin Artillerist, the 2 and a red 1/4 cares about cycling pings, and you can also cycle it itself to ping.
Yeah, certainly if I take a Momentum Breaker, I would be taking the black white uncommon. I think, you know, green can splash that type of card. You'd theoretically already have Momentum Breaker to get the engine started. With where Ben is at right now, I don't really care. I don't feel like he's a good card to take. I guess boosted sloop is the pick, right? And maybe you're going to be teamer exhaust, that kind of thing, that life.
Right, but like, I don't know. Sloop isn't, you don't want to splash boosted sloop. I mean, I agree that with what he has done, I guess you take it. Though, I would be like, I mean, there's no green in this pack, really. And there's no green, spoiler alert, coming up in pick 7. There's a trip up, a Gearseeker Serpent, a Gilded Goda, a Gastel Raider. Like, I would be panicking right now. I'd be like, oh, cool. My first three picks, I have lit on fire. Or three of my, oh, no, in Ben's case, he has lit his entire draft on fire. If green is not open, and like, these are the cards. I mean, he doesn't really have an off ramp, but like, Momentum Breaker. I agree.
He's ride or die base green at this point with the picks he's made. Once you take a Alacrian Jaguar over Momentum Breaker, you're ride or die green come what may. And maybe, yeah, maybe his thought is like, I wonder if he's thinking with the Alacrian Jaguar pick over Momentum Breaker, like, I wonder if that's how good his team thinks green is, and he just wants to cut green like as hard as possible to get hooked up in pack two. I agree. I don't think that's true. Like, I don't think that's right.
Sell me on that, except he was the lone Boros trophy on day one. And he was like, even his tweet was like, yeah, like, Boros isn't great, but like, if it's the open deck, you can get a good deck. And like, yeah,
it's shocking to me that he didn't take Momentum Breaker there.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to get feedback that we're too high on the card, but I will hear none of it.
I also will hear none of it. So good.
Yeah, it's great. And so I think the off ramp here is Momentum Breaker into Embalmed Ascendant into maybe even Gastel Raider, the 2 and a black 2/1, start your engines, exile an instant sorcery. What?
That card is so weird in sealed. Like, it's insane when it hits. So you're probably always playing it, I guess, unless your pool's ridiculous, but it's so atrocious when it misses. Like, it has the widest range of a card I have ever seen.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, and then pick 8, like, maybe you take, there's a Collision Course, that's the 1 and a white, blow up an artifact or deal damage to something equal to the number of creatures and vehicles. There's Wreck Remover, the 4 mana 3/4 artifact. Like, maybe just take that because you're going to need playables. Like, I don't know. And I only wrote down the picks that he made after the wheel. I didn't see what else was there. It's hard to like pivot for Momentum Breaker into Ascendant and then also not see like a third thing where you're like, oh, okay, cool, that's what I'm supposed to do. But it's a tough seat. And to Ben's credit, like, I think hell or high water, he's got to be green. And the start of pack two is good for him. He gets an Autarch Mammoth, pick 1. That's the 6-drop 5/5 elephant that, or 5/5 that brings along a 3/3 elephant and can make more elephants if it attacks while saddled. Then a Thopter Fabricator. That's the 2 and a blue 4/4 vehicle flying. And then when you draw your second card in a turn, you make a 1/1 Thopter. Would have been nice for him to have the roadside blowout over the Boom Scholar with that, but, you know, can't win them all. And then pick 3 in pack 2, he gets an Elvish Refueler. That's the Exhaust Lord that lets you multi-exhaust the 2 and a green 2/3. And I feel like at that point, he's sort of locked in to blue-green.
And is that how the rest of the draft goes?
Basically, but it's bad. Like, I mean, other than he gets a pick 3 in pack 3 Sky Serpent Seeker, which is nice. But he, like, in pack 3, there's just, like, actual nothing for him. Pick 4, he takes a Broken Wings. Pick 5, he takes a red-green dual land. He ends up having to splash a little bit of red with the Boom Scholar in his blue-green deck. So, like, pack 3 goes, for how nicely pack 2 starts for him, which it starts nicely and then sort of drops off, pack 3 is pretty rough for him.
But does pack 3 get any better if he's base green-black? Yeah, he gets another Momentum Breaker pack 3, pick 3, potentially.
Yeah, it's so also so hard to know because
to know what would have happened because things would have
if
changed.
He would have taken different stuff pack two and then as a result blah blah blah. But like
sure.
It's a tough seat. Like I think it's just so I don't know. The pick four run over is really the thing that I feel like if it's just Greenbelt Guardian and migrating Ketrodon and then green starts to dry up, I think it's easier to get away. Once you get the third good green card, it's a lot harder. I don't know. It's a tough seat.
But do you want to get away is a question. I mean, certainly like the momentum breaker pick is shocking to me.
Yeah. Do I want to get away? I mean, I am probably too prone to be like, get me out of three picks. Get me out of this. I want to be in the open deck no matter what. Versus like, no, I have good green cards. Other people better get out of my way and I'm going to draft green. Like I am probably too much in the camp of like getting out. But if you're going to get out, this is the kind of start you should be getting out of. Like, it's not like he's got some, I mean, Greenbelt Guardian is excellent. That's one of the best uncommons, I think.
It's hard to see from just the picks here on the spreadsheet. Like I said, I didn't watch this live. Let's say you go pack one, pick one, Greenbelt Guardian, into Ketrodon, into Roadside Blowout, into Runover, into Momentum Breaker, into the Black-White Uncommon. Like, that's mm-hmm. where I want to be.
Yes.
Then you're taking probably Trip Up or Gastel Raider out of the next pack.
I think you take Gastel Raider.
And then you're taking Collision Course, and are you pivoting into black white? And does that go well for you? Like,
I would. It's hard to
get a pick one Perilous Snare, but I mean that's all just random chance, you know.
That's random chance, but like pick five Momentum Breaker, and certainly a pick six Ascendant means no one's drafting black white. Now, does that mean black and or white are open? I don't know.
Sure,
but it means black white's going to be open, and isn't that better than holding on to two green commons and a green uncommon?
Or certainly at least if you've made those picks, you open up the avenue of maybe being able to pivot off green if you're really feeling bad about it.
Right.
Like maybe you can start to get deeper into black and then have the hedge between black green and black white or something, or who knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. It's a very tough start to try to get off of green.
I agree with that. And I think taking the Roadside Blowout makes it slightly easier because then maybe you do take a Trip Up pick seven if you have Roadside Blowout because you have outs to be blue, which is again why I just don't like taking Boom Scholar. I wonder if Ben was thinking like, there's no way you can wheel the boost buggy, but I wonder if he was thinking about that. Like, oh, I just passed one of the red green uncommons. Maybe if I take Boom Scholar, I can wheel the other one, but that just doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, boost buggy's way too good to wheel.
I just hate getting cut. I hate feeling like I'm fighting over something for commons, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I completely agree. It's tough spot to be in this format, for sure.
But this was a really tough draft. The packs just seemed like, especially after the start, I was feeling good, but I don't love where he's at, but I don't think there were many other options. And then certainly how pack two started with Mammoth into Fabricator into Elvish Refueler, I was like, oh, you're great. You're getting hooked up. And then pack three was really a desert for him in terms of the cards he was able to play. And unfortunately, he started 8-0 on day one, and he was the 0-3 drafter out of this pod.
Brutal.
The Pro Tour champion, Matt Nass, drafted a banger blue-red cycling deck. He had Monument. He had four of the Magmakin Artillerists. And he had not one, but two of the Draconaut Engineer, the one in a red rare.
Ooh, nice.
Dragons. He had that with Pit Automaton, the thing that doubles your exhaust abilities.
Ooh.
So he, one turn in one of the games, he made two dragons with that and then flashed in his clone and cloned one of the dragons. Like, his deck was...
How did he have that much mana?
No, not all in one turn.
Oh, okay.
But just, like, that was the sequence of events where he's like, now I have three dragons in play, deal with it. So, pretty sweet deck going around there for Matt Nass to grab a hold of.
And so this is what I'm talking about. Like, I was at MagicCon Chicago all weekend, had a blast in a competitive limited player. Like, I love draft, and I knew we were going to talk about these drafts, but like, there's no time. I didn't have time to watch like PT coverage or watch this or whatever. Like, there's just so much to do at these Magic Cons. It is incredible. Cannot recommend them highly enough.
Yeah. A great weekend of Magic had by all, whether you were 8-0 at the Pro Tour or whether you were 5-0 at a PTQ. Who cares what happens after it?
Does that mean that you got a lot of good arena drafting done while you were stuck in the airport on your phone?
I did draft a lot on Arena while I was stuck on my phone, yes.
Good weekend of Magic was had by all.
Oof. I needed something to distract me from the misery I was feeling. Travel is terrible. I'm never flying again is my takeaway from this weekend, which doesn't bode well for my Magic Con attendance in the future, but I'm sure I'll get over it in the coming weeks.
I'm kind of subscribing. My oldest brother's theory is that you only take direct flights. He never flies without connecting flights.
I am 100% there after this weekend. I'm never getting a layover ever again. And I'm never getting anything that isn't the first flight out of the day. I don't care. I'll wake up at 4 a.m., but stuff gets delayed so easily. I had a noon flight today that didn't take off till 1:30. Like, it was the second flight out to Pittsburgh. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. They're not equipped anymore. for the masses.
Yeah. Well, on that happy positive note here, everybody go fly to your next Magic Con.
Just do it early or drive.
We will see you there. I am certain to be at Magic Con Vegas. You are also certain to be at Magic Con Vegas.
Yes, I will suck it up, Buttercup, and make it to Vegas. I'm definitely.
So if you want to be at the Magic Con experience with us, we will catch you in Vegas. Hope to see you there. Thank you as always to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all of our content on our website at lordsoflimited.com. There's links to our pick order. You can see just how high up Momentum Breaker is in the Lords of Limited power rankings and tell us how you feel about it.
Been revisited since like day 3 or 4 of the format, so I will have to check that out.
Get that up. You can find our episode backlogs, our links to our Twitch streams, respectively, our YouTube channel, our merch courtesy of TeePublic, our Patreon page that we chatted about. All of that is available for you at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode on time of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.